This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
The Olympia.
Shaqik into the zone. He's got a wall check. He's in. He shoots. DiPietro! Another unbelievable save!
The Super Bowl champion.
Manning goes down. Chris Canty off the edge. The right defensive end made the play.
And the greatest pound-for-pound sports talk show host in all the land.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg starts right now.
La la, we.
What a good Friday morning, January the 22nd, 2021. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Busy sports day today. The Jets introducing their new head coach, and it went better than the last introduction of a head coach. The Knicks with a big victory and a huge weekend of NFL football. Rob Ninkovich going to join us at 7 o'clock. And, you know, I said I didn't love Wednesdays on Wednesday, and I still stand by that, but I do love Fridays, Chris. Oh, do I love Fridays. And a happy Friday to you.
Well, who doesn't like Friday, Dave? Everybody has to like Friday. If somebody comes out and say they don't like Friday, they're an animal. Like, I don't understand that type of person. And frankly, I wouldn't feel comfortable having a conversation with him.
So you don't want any part of the person who doesn't enjoy the Friday?
No, I want no part to that. That person might be a serial killer.
I think that's fair.
I'll tell you what, though, David, as much as I like Fridays, I had a hell of a Thursday. Islanders win.
Yep.
Knicks win.
Yep.
I got a head coach I love.
Yep.
I mean, who's better than me? I actually had a little sexy time last night, believe it or not.
Really?
Snuck that in.
Now, you say last night, like a 7:30 kind of romantic get-together?
It was like an 8:10, 8:10-ish. Yeah. I didn't love it. I'm going to be honest. That beggars can't be choosers.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I didn't love it. Who are you to not love it?
No, listen. Listen, don't get me wrong. I loved it, but I didn't love it as much as I usually love it because it ended up being like a Charlie Chaplin film where there was no sound.
Well, because you got three kids wandering around.
Well, exactly right. You can't wake anyone up. I was a little uncomfortable. I didn't like it that much. Like, I need an indication that things are going well. You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't get a thumbs up or a smile or something?
I got nothing.
Happy face?
I got nothing.
Dave, you said a thumbs up?
Yep.
You want a thumbs up? Good job?
Yeah, sign language, something.
Good
wow.
for you.
Wow. I tell you what, Rico, you're going to have
to ask
you this.
Did you have the Islanders game on in the room when you were doing this?
Oh, of course it was. It was good. We went Canadian style where we could both watch the game.
Oh,
it was perfection.
Rico, I mean, you did have a great Thursday.
I tell you what, Rico, you're going to have a whole lot more sexy time if you're going to catch up with the number of kids that Rob Saleh has.
Not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm telling you right now. I'm not going to do it. I can't.
He got six with one in the chamber? Oof.
I thought he was kidding.
Why would he keep
going?
I didn't know he had that many children. He's like, I got 10.
Kids.
I got 8. I got 5. I got 3. I got 1. And then, like, you have a lot of children. He's like, I got another one on the way. Like, come on, stop. He's like, no, I have another one. I'm serious.
Oh, he's kidding, all right. He's kidding, all right.
he's kidding.
He's doing plenty of kidding.
It was almost Antonio Cromartie-ish, except his kids were actually different ages. Like, when Cromartie was like, I got Bobby, who's 3. I got Tommy, who's 3. I got Alexa, who's 3.
You ain't right, man. You ain't right. You're supposed to be a Jets fan, man. You're taking a shot at one of your guys. You ain't right.
Oh, man. So needless to say, David, I'm ready to rock and roll. Rejuvenated for Friday.
I love it. Heavy giveaway Friday also, by the way. So there's a lot going on. We could start anywhere we'd like, but I think we start with the most recent. And we'll get to Rob Saleh, and you should be very excited and feel exactly opposite of how you did after the Adam Gase press conference. But, I mean, the Knicks. And I actually, there's this new show, I don't know if you guys have seen it, on ABC at 9 o'clock. It's called The Chase on Thursday nights. It's wonderful. It is a trivia contest between normal, everyday civilians and the three geniuses that have been on the Jeopardy. Ken Jennings, Holzhauer, and Brad Rutter, right? So they basically have to chase down a lead that these normal celebrity people get as far as their trivia, and it's wonderful. So I watched that, And then as I was going to bed, I was like, well, it's like a little after 10. Let me turn the Knicks game on for a few minutes. And they looked terrific. And it pained me to have to turn it off, which I did about 6 minutes into the game. But, I mean, the Knicks last night, guys, were – that could be the performance of the year right now. Because they'd won two in a row, and you start to have good feelings, and now they go out west. You think, well, it's going to kind of fall apart out west, and Golden State's been playing decent basketball, and Curry and the whole thing. And they played a really good game, and they actually scored the basketball last night. So, Rick, I mean, you talk about a good Friday. Today's a good Friday.
Today's a great Friday. Not only did they score the basketball, I mean, they scored 40 points in the first quarter. R.J. Barrett was great. Bullock hit his first four threes.
Yep.
Their defense was great. I mean... Alfred Payton, tons of credit. He was in Steph Curry's hip pocket the entire game. Draymond Green ends up getting kicked out of the game, which changed things.
He was yelling at his teammate.
I know.
That's crazy to me.
The officiating's been terrible. I mean, let's be honest. The officiating has been brutal. But no, as far as you know, what you're seeing from this Knicks team, I mean, the defense is legitimate. So this team goes out and they have a chance to win every single night. When they hit shots, I mean, 119-104, Dave. I mean, that's a nice win for this Knicks team.
Yeah, that's a convincing win. I mean, they blasted the Boston Celtics this past weekend, and then you follow that up with playing well on the road against the Golden State Warriors team that's probably going to find themselves in the playoffs in the Western Conference. So that's a solid opponent. I get it. It's the second night of a back-to-back, but they played really well, and it started for them on the defensive end, man. And we said it. Under Tibbs, they're going to play really good defense. And you can see everybody committing to that. Like, it's the opposite of what we're seeing with the Nets. Like, they're getting hands in passing lanes, deflections. They're blocking shots. They had 9 block shots last night. And they held the Warriors, which are a solid shooting team, under 40% from the field. Like, that to me is just showing you how much of a nuisance this defense is going to be. And last night, it happened to lead to a lot of easy buckets. They had 19 fast break points last night. And the Knicks on the season, for context, are averaging 6.8 per game. So this is a situation where sometimes your defense will lead to opportunities for you on the offensive end. And with the challenges that they have in the half court and knowing that they've got some issues at the point guard spot, like having some easy buckets to get guys going is exactly what you need. And you saw that early in the game last night.
Well, the great thing about it is, you know, defense, and we've talked about this for years when we watched the Knicks under, you know, all these coaches that you quit Fizdale and Hornacek and everyone. It's like, well, you should be able to play decent defense. It doesn't matter how talented you are. You should be able to go out there and at least give the effort to play defensively. And they do that now. And when they can actually put the ball in the basket, they're a fun team to watch. They've won 3 games in a row, and I'm going to go late night tonight, and I'm going to watch the Knicks game. I'm going to watch them go for 4 in a row tonight.
When they make shots, I mean, it only helps their defense. I mean, that's what we've seen in the past. When these Knicks teams, they don't make shots, their offense becomes stagnant. They don't play great defense. Like, it definitely would affect their defense. I mean, this team, it's a commitment. I know it's easy to say, like, how come you don't play defense? I mean, listen, you watch the Brooklyn Nets. There are a lot of teams in the NBA. A lot of teams in sports that aren't committed to playing defense. And, you know, Thibs has, you know, stepped in, and these guys are buying in. And when you have the results to show for buying into what Thibs is selling, I mean, look at the way R.J. Barrett played last night.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean, the amount of minutes he's logging. I mean, he had something on his mind last night, a battle of Canada, him versus Wiggins. I mean, he was not going to lose that battle. I mean, he was awesome last night.
I thought what was big for him is knocking down those 2 3-pointers early, because you're going to force the defense to close out on you. And for his game, that creates opportunities to slash, to get into the paint, and you create opportunities for himself and for his teammates. So I thought that was huge for him. But moving forward, that's exactly what he's got to be. Like, he's got to be a guy that can be a shot maker. If he's open, he's got to be aggressive in taking those shots, because if he's not, it's going to be hard for the Knicks to be as good as they can be on the offensive end. Like, he's going to have to be a difference maker offensively. It's him and Julius Randle. Those are the guys that are going to have to carry the mail for the Knicks offense. And everything else that you get has got to be gravy.
I mean, you mentioned the fast break points, too, and the easy buckets. But, I mean, they had 41 free throw attempts last night, which is huge for them. I mean, that's not something that they do well, is get to the free throw line.
No.
And then on top of it, I mean, Mitchell Robinson got an early foul trouble, and he gives you 18 points in the second half. So, I mean, you got contributions all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. As this season moves forward, I mean, the Knicks got to 500 last night. And Alfred Payton,
which is huge. I mean, they're 516 games into a season,
which is great. And Alfred Payton, I also like the fact that they're, They're 5-4 on the road, which I like too. I mean, Alfred Payton is fine. He's serviceable. But, I mean, in order for this team to kind of continue the progression and take that next step, I really feel like Quickley's got to emerge as the guy. Like, especially
Well, he can do things that Alfred Payton can't. Like,
can
Emmanuel
shoot.
Quickley with his athleticism, his ability to shoot, and his ability to be crafty in the pick and roll. Like, those are things that Alfred Payton, he's just not dynamic in that way.
No.
Like, so if you have the opportunity to get IQ more minutes, that would be great. The only problem is I don't know that IQ has gotten to the point that Thibs trust him to play as much as he would in Alfred Payton.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just think late in games, too, I mean, Quickley does not miss free throws. He's missed one free throw.
No, he's a good shooter.
Season.
He's a good shooter. Like, one of the signs of a guy that can that's a really good perimeter shooter is his free throw percentage. Like, we talk about it, 50-40-90. Like, there's a reason why they throw that 90 in there. If a guy can shoot free throws at 90%, he's probably a damn good shooter. And that's what IQ has been. Like, he's the best shooter on the team. So
yeah,
Go ahead.
I'm going to need two. Tell me if you agree with this. I'm going to need Kevin Knox. Just do me a favor. Just set up right in the right corner. Just right corner.
Just be right there.
Guys, money.
Just
money
be right there. And listen, Kevin Knox has the ability to be a good 3-and-D guy. Like,
yep.
You know, he's not going to be a star player, but he can be a solid contributor. But I think that you're going to see all of these young players find their roles and realize more of their potential because you actually have a good basketball coach in Thibodeau.
Yeah, which feels like it's been a long time coming.
When's the last time you can say that, Dave? When's the last time the Knicks say, we trust our basketball coach?
Listen, it's hard to say you don't when you're winning 54 games, right? I'd say under Woodson?
I'd say Woody, yeah.
Time? Yeah.
Yeah, they play for Woody.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise Woody's on the staff, too.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's exciting. All right, so Tom Thibodeau, the coach that we're all very pleased with right now, loves the energy that these young guys are bringing to the table.
And I've said this from the beginning. I love our young guys, and particularly with their attitude and their approach. And every day they come in with a lot of energy. And, you know, some days, you know, we make mistakes. And, you know, but the next day there's a determination to correct the mistakes and get better. And if we do that each and every day, we'll continue to grow. And that's what I love about them. And then our vets are doing a great job. It's a total team effort. Even the guys that aren't in the rotation right now have been phenomenal in practice, and I think the quality of practice is critical for our development.
All you ever want, or I want as a fan, is for the team to look at themselves and say, or the fans to say, you know what, they're getting as much as they can out of this team. And right now at 8-8, having won 3 in a row, looking like they're improving, playing well defensively, I feel like this team is getting about as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, and I feel like they're going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
Like, the young players are going to continue to get better. The more minutes they play, the more comfortable they feel. A little concerned about Obi Toppin, just a bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. And we said it at the time, so this is not Monday morning quarterback. I mean, the Knicks haven't had a point guard forever. And Quickley's good, and he could be the steal of the draft. But you had a chance to draft Halliburton, who you'll get a chance to see play tonight. But, I mean, outside of that, Julius Randle's having a career year. I mean, R.J. Barrett looks like...
He's a completely different player than he was last year.
Completely different player. R.J. Barrett looks like he's taking that next step. So, yeah, I mean, it really highlights, this Knicks team really highlights how important a great head coach is and what Thibs has been able to do in a really short time, especially under the circumstances. I mean, this wasn't like that. I mean, with COVID and everything else, I mean, this was not a full training camp and everything else. So these guys on the fly have done a really good job.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's looked good so far. I mean, this is a team that's exceeded all expectations based on what we thought they'd be coming in. Like a 500 team through 16 games. It's what, been 3-4 years since the Knicks have been able to say that. So we'll see if they're able to keep this up. But the one thing that gives me confidence about this team and being competitive throughout the course of the regular season is the way they play defense. Like,
yep.
I'm going to keep going back to that because this is a really good defensive team. Like, they're fourth in defensive rating. Like, that's legitimate. And field goal percentage and points scored, like, they're in the top five of all these major statistical categories. And it's one of those things that will always give you an opportunity. So that will buy them time to figure out what they're doing on the offensive end, and in particular with the point guard position.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. We should be pleased with the Knicks.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, are you a skier? I don't see you as a skier.
I love skiing.
Do you? Are you?
Love
really?
It.
Is there anything you don't do?
Is there anything I don't do?
Yeah, I mean,
do?
You see, there's not a lot of, I can say that you'd be like, yeah, no, I won't do that.
No, I enjoy sports. I actually got in trouble. I made the mistake of taking Cass on a ski trip during the All-Star break, which didn't really go over well with the coaching staff.
Wait, you kind of left camp to go?
No, it was All-Star break. It was All-Star break. We had time off. So I thought it'd be a good idea to take Cass on like a romantic ski trip up at Hunter Mountain. And I had like this, I thought this suite with like this hot tub and everything else. And figured it'd be a good idea. I think I had a time like a BMW or something. And I decided I'm going to drive up to Hunter Mountain in a BMW.
No, the BMW
is a great idea.
Does not do well.
That's a great idea.
Awful idea. With no snow gear. So I had to buy snow gear. I had to like buy mats for the, it was a mess. It was a disaster. Hot tub. The room did not look like it did on the internet. It was bad
what a
news.
Surprise!
And then the coach was like, "How was your All Star break?" I said, "Great. Did some skiing." He's like, "Excuse me? Did you just say you went skiing?" I said, "Yeah, it was great." He's like, "You know, you realize it's in your like you're not supposed to ski during the All Star break." It's like, "That's probably a good point. I probably
kidding.
Shouldn't have gone skiing."
Did I say skiing?
Did I say skiing?
Yeah, Nintendo skiing. Thumbs are killing me.
It was fun though. I like skiing. I just thought I don't get a chance to do it much.
It's a big undertaking, right? I mean, get up there, dress.
I just don't understand why you're looking for new and creative ways to hurt yourself, Rico.
I
don't
get
it. I got enough adventure in my life.
I grew up in Boston, so we would go ski. Like, my parents would take us skiing, so I learned how to ski. I never learned to snowboard, and Milo's begging me to take him skiing, so I'm sure at some point we'll do it.
At some point you will. All right, so let's get back to the Knicks. 800-919-3776. 8-8. If you would have asked anybody before the season, would this team be sitting here at 500? I'm sure they would have said no. Tom Thibodeau, what does 8-8 mean right now for you?
It means we got a lot of work to do. So, you know, you can't feel good. You got to keep working. It's a long season. You go step by step. And as I said, there's things we've done well. We've had some good wins. We've also had some games where we could have played a lot better in. And so we have to be, you know, honest with ourselves and know that there's a lot of work to be done, but we're capable of improving and doing a lot better. So that's our challenge. As I mentioned before, I love the way our guys work.
Does he sound like Bill Parcells to you at all?
No. Santi, let me hear him for a quick moment. Not the whole thing, just something again.
It means we got a lot of work to do. So, you know, you can't feel good. You got to keep working.
No, he doesn't sound like Parcells.
No, I don't think so.
I love him, though. You know what I love most about Thibs is his reactions, like how he reacts on the sidelines. Like, I feel like his reactions are very similar to, like, my reactions as I'm watching the game.
Well, because he cares.
And you can tell, like, you can see that he cares. And players feed off that energy, too. And I mean, how do you not like the fact they're 8-8? Wow, there's nothing really to be happy about. We got to keep working.
You love it.
But what do you listen? And I hate to be overly critical of the question that the reporter asked, but what do you expect Thibs to say? Like, what does 8-8 mean to you? Like,
Thrilled. I'm thrilled that we're sitting here at 8-8. No, you know, it's a good start.
But Dave, if he's in the middle of it, how can he take a big picture view of things? Like, he's just trying to make sure that he gets his team ready to play the next game. As a coach, you're in the moment. As a player, you're in the moment. You can't big picture the season while you're going through it.
No, but I think, I mean, to Dave's point, there would be some coaches that would say, you know, something along the lines, you know, this is 8-8. It's a good place to be right now.
It's great. From where we've been to where we are, I feel good about it right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're a fan, you can feel great about it. But I'm sure that those guys are looking at things that they can improve on. And as a coach, you're not trying to sell them that we're in a good spot because we're 8-8.
I mean, hell, in the past, we'd have players on the team talking about making the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, we're not saying that.
No, we're not saying that, but no. I mean, we've heard that. How many? And then the wheels just fall right off.
Yeah.
We could be a playoff team, and then all of a sudden, one by one, the wheels fall right off.
You remember the year that it was like Christmas, and they were above 500, and they had that game against the Celtics, and they got hammered in that game, and then they almost never won again the rest of the season.
Was that Derrick Rose? Was that Derrick Rose?
I can't even remember now at this point.
I think it was when Derrick Rose was here.
Awful.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, right, we're not even a quarter of the way through the season, and the team has already got 8 wins. Like, this is a team that everybody said, yeah, if they get 25 wins, 26 wins, that's what we would expect them to be. So they're ahead of that schedule. They're ahead of pace in terms of the number of wins. And they've beaten some good teams to this point in the season. So we'll see what it becomes when teams actually lock in the regular season, and that doesn't typically happen until after the All-Star break. We'll see whether or not they're able to be as competitive. But based on how they're playing right now and just being competitive game in and game out, you'll take that as a win if you're a Knicks fan. You should.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be very pleased if you're a Knicks fan, 8-8. All right, tonight, 9:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN against Sacramento, so you get to see Halliburton live and up close. Rick, you must have been so happy yesterday. We talked about all the things that you had. You had some personal time, which was fun. You had the Islanders, which was fun. But nothing probably put a smile on your face more so than Rob Saleh and his introductory press conference and his conversation with Kay and the guys. I mean, that's what you want. And I don't know that he's going to be good, but from day one, that's what you want, right?
That's exactly what you want. I'm sure the players that were listening. I mean, you had players on the Jets team actually, you know, tweeting when the Jets made the hire, how excited they were. I mean, he has a great reputation. You've heard Richard Sherman. Players love him, want to play for him, and you understand why. I mean, the things that he said. You know, put my players in a position to have, you know, the career years and get paid as much money as humanly possible, which is the opposite of what Adam Gase said. Like, I don't like this running back. He's making too much money. And then on top of it, not only do I like what he said, I also like the fact that when Chris Johnson was asked about the hierarchy, he actually said there will be a change. It's Joe Douglas will report to me, and the coach will report to Joe Douglas. So everything you were hoping to hear, I think you heard yesterday.
Yeah, I got to call fraud on Rob a little bit with one thing, though. When they asked him about that, he was saying that it doesn't really matter unless you have a bad organization. And he's saying that they didn't have that here with the Jets. They actually do have a bad organization. It's been dysfunctional for the better part of the Johnsons' tenure as owners of the team. So actually putting that structure in place, I feel a lot better about it now, because at least I think there's a chance to have more accountability. And that's the first step in trying to get things turned around.
And then you're going to have Woody back, too, which makes this a little bit more interesting. Sounds like he's going to come back and take over. But
yeah.
And it, you know, too, the other thing that I really liked was when they asked him, because it's going to be important. I mean, let's face it. If they keep Sam, it's going to be important. If they draft the quarterback, it's going to be equally as important. But when they asked him about the offense and things that they would try to do, I mean, you know, how he spoke about Mike LaFleur, the things he was going to do with the quarterback, I mean, it got me excited. It did. Because our offense has been horrendous.
Well, I think it should. And what you've seen from San Francisco is, and we don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a ton, but the Niners haven't had a great quarterback by any stretch. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a great quarterback, and they've made him look really, really... Listen, they've made Beathard look pretty good. They've made Mullins look pretty good. So I think you have to be optimistic that they're going to bring that system to this offense.
It actually pissed me off, though, listening to it. He's like, you know, a lot of motion... You know, all the things to help you, your quarterback.
But let it go. I understand.
But we did the opposite of that.
But it's over now. They can't hurt you anymore.
The damage has been done, Dave. The damage has been done.
Let it go. All right, here's Saleh. He was on with Kay and the guys yesterday, and he discussed the uncertainty going on with the quarterback situation.
To be honest, like I said, there's so many conversations that have to be had with Joe and his staff, and there's so many different things that we have to do with regards to painting the picture and helping Joe and his staff find the best players in the world, and then there's obviously the evaluation of our guys and how they fit and how we can put them and place them in positions within our schemes to help them get better. So to answer that question would be severely premature.
And I don't know that the Jets know what they're going to do at quarterback, to be honest with you.
Well, how could you know? I mean, I know what they'd like to do. I'm sure Deshaun Watson is what they would like to do, right?
But they have a perfect world, yes.
Exactly right. You're not going to say anything. I mean, he had nice things to say about Sam Darnold, too, which makes sense. Because you're either going to keep him or you're hoping to get as much for him as you can when you trade him. So, yeah, I mean, listen. I mean, outside of finding out that Woody was coming back, which I'm not going to say concerns me a little bit, but I don't know how that dynamic is going to work.
Right.
I mean, there wasn't...
Well, it sounds like he's going to take over, is what it's going to be.
And Chris is still going to be involved. Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, luckily it's going to go, you know, owner, GM, and coach.
Thank God.
Which you like. But, I mean, even like when they asked him, you know, to point out certain players, and he said the right thing. We got to evaluate all the players. But he was, you could tell he was like hard-pressed to think in his mind because the Jets don't have many, many players. Like, the Jets need a lot for this thing to have success.
They're not flush with talent.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
See, Rick, I tease ahead. This is what I do. And if it happens to be a segment that I'm involved with, then that's what happens. But I tease ahead.
Tease ahead is fine. But, I mean, we all realize that, I mean, Stump Rothenberg days, it's a little extra on it. Come on, little extra on it.
I'm excited for Rob Ninkovich. Listen, if we were doing observations today, Chris, I would tease that as well. This is what I do. I tease ahead. And if it happens to be that I'm the benefit of it, then so be it.
Yeah, but you bring a little extra energy when it's Stump Rothenberg in comparison to everything else we do.
You got Saturday tomorrow.
At some point, you're going to have to admit that, Dave.
I don't think it's true. You want me to sing about observations? I mean, what are you looking for?
I'm just looking for the same type of energy, man. I want you to keep the same energy that you have for Stump Rothenberg for everything else that we do on the show.
I wanted to do observations today, but you said, no, there's too much else going on.
We're doing six minutes
to do observations?
No, we're doing it. We're going to do observations.
Oh, we're doing it.
And I got a Did It Happen in Florida. How about
that? What time are we doing it? Tell me what time we're doing this today.
Whenever you would like, David. Whenever you feel up for it.
I would like right after the Sports Centery at 6:45.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
I want it. I know. I hear that. I don't want to give up the meat. Right after the Sports Center at 6:45.
You'll get some meat. 6:45, done.
All right, good.
Like that kind of party?
That's right. Who doesn't love that kind of party? Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie, you're first up, I believe, on a beautiful Friday morning on 98.7 ESPN.
How you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Lonnie?
Hey. Actually, it's for all you guys, but I know Humpty is the Jets fan, so I was just wondering if Humpty had seen Deshaun Watson's latest photo on Instagram.
I have. Not only that, I also saw that Allen Robinson doing a little flirting, too, with the J-E-T-S's.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Okay, because I know, and it's funny that yesterday was Robert Saleh's introduction, and I know there was, like, no real press conference, but the fact that Deshaun Watson's in New York, in the picture that he was in yesterday, his hat says Bleeker Trading, and then the stamp was in New York. So I just found that to be a little funny. I mean, he could be playing with New York media and New York, you know, New York Jets fans, but it's just a little funny. And I had to call in to see what you guys thought about that.
I love it. And let's
not
forget,
really
too,
what we're going to do, though. And thanks for the call.
Oh, yeah, this is exactly what we're
going to
do.
Every time, if he's seen on a New York street, it's, oh my God, look how obvious it is. He wants to come to the Jets. Like, really, this is what we're going to do?
Why can't you just give us this? I don't understand.
Because I think you're setting yourself up. Listen, maybe he'll come to the Jets. But I don't think he's going to come to the Jets because he's wearing a hat which is made in New York City.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's doing it for a reason. I mean, he wants the Jets involved. Like, he wants the Jets he's letting the Jets know that he wants them to pursue him. Like, there is a chance.
Yeah, but I don't think he's doing that because he ultimately wants to end up with the Jets. I think he understands it's in the best interest of him and the Texans organization if there are multiple teams that are bidding for his services. Like, the more teams that are involved in the market, the better the return is going to be for the Houston Texans, which makes it easier for them to part ways with him.
Just give me a couple weeks.
He's just trying to drum up some business, man. No,
exactly.
I don't want you to set yourself up for failure, because Shefty was telling this to Greeny yesterday. I don't want you to set yourself up for failure, man. I don't want you to get your heart broken thinking that you're going to get Deshaun Watson and then you don't end up with him. I don't want you to go to that kind of place.
Because, you know, it's going to be like, he had a bottle of water. Where is that water made in? Oh, that's New York City water. Oh, my God. Here we go. Deshaun Watson's coming to the Jets.
Stop yourself. All I've had is disappointment. It's all I've had.
But I'm trying to
I don't want you to have more.
Avoid that.
Why are we going to keep heaping disappointment on top of disappointment?
If it happens, be excited. But if it doesn't happen, I don't want you to be disappointed.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless of if I have this, you know, the next couple of weeks of all these high hopes, and I really believe it could happen, and we don't get him, I'll be disappointed either way. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, if he's not a New York Jet, I'll be disappointed. Because, I mean, listen, he would be a game changer.
Game changer.
I get it. You're giving up all these picks, and, you know, can you surround him with enough time? I understand that. But, I mean, I brought up Allen Robinson, too. The fact that, I mean, how would, Chris, I'll ask you this. How would other players view the New York Jets if all of a sudden Deshaun Watson was their quarterback?
Oh, the Jets become a destination.
Yes.
They become a destination. I mean, Rick, he's a top five quarterback that's 25 years old and that's under contract for the next 5 years. Of course everybody would want to come play alongside Deshaun Watson. And take it a step further, Deshaun Watson is one of those types of personalities that if you don't like him, that says more about you than it actually does about him. Everybody loves Deshaun Watson. There's nothing not to love, from taking care of the stadium employees to donating to Hurricane Harvey relief. Like Deshaun Watson has shown on every level that he is a good person and he's a guy that you can trust as the face of your franchise. Why wouldn't you want him if you're an NFL team? There are about 25 NFL teams that would take Deshaun Watson over whoever they have at quarterback right now.
That's the most self-serving question I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
What do you mean?
Let me ask you, how would people view the Jets if they added Deshaun Watson? Of course they'd be excited by it. He's a premier quarterback. It would change the entire narrative of this organization. You just needed him to say what you already know.
But that's how important a move like that would be. I mean, you're talking to a guy in Chris Kennedy. The reason I asked him the question is because he was offered a contract by the New York Jets. And because the Jets have been so dysfunctional, he said, you know what? Unless you're going to pay me an exorbitant amount of money, why would I be a New York Jet? If by trading three or four first round picks, all of a sudden can completely erase that narrative about your team?
I think it does.
Yeah, it keeps you from having to pay $17 million for an inside linebacker, Dave. That's what it does.
Yeah.
If you have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback.
It changes the narrative.
You don't have to pay the premium for all of these free agents.
You become a place where people want to go.
Yes.
And the Jets have not been that in a decade.
Could you imagine the tailgates we would have? Oh, my goodness. I would have walked right. I'll walk right through that glass door as opposed to bouncing off of it. That's how fired up I'd be.
You would lose your mind.
I would lose my mind.
The Jets fans are already starting to get it. You can feel it percolating. They're starting to bubble now with excitement.
I'm not even a Jets fan. If Deshaun Watson comes to the Jets, I'm going to use that press pass once they start having people back at the stadium, and I will more often than not be at Jets games.
Really?
Yes.
You'll be a staple at Jets games if Deshaun Watson
is there. If Deshaun Watson is the quarterback for the New York Jets, I can promise you this, Dave. I will go to more Jets games than I do Giants games.
Wow.
Think about that.
Now, you are a Cowboy. Let's face it.
Stop it. Stop
yes.
it. Hey, my name is on the Lombardi Trophy at 1925 Giants Drive. If you ever want to go by and take a look, it's over there.
In case you forgot the address, DPH, it's 1925 Giants Drive. All right, time for a little sports entry. Knicks level their... What is this? Their long record?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't start. Right. Do not start burying the guys behind the...
I'm not burying anybody. It was confusing. Should I read it the way it's written?
Yes, please.
All right, the Knicks leveled their long record at 8-8 after a 119-104 win out west against the Warriors. Six Knicks were in double figures in scoring, led by R.J. Barrett's career-high 28. Knicks have now won three in a row. They're back in action tonight on the back end of a back-to-back. Knicks and Kings coverage starts tonight, 9:30 right here on 98.7. ESPN. Nets are in Cleveland once again tonight, taking on the Cavs. Tip-off for that one. 7:30. Islanders beat the Devils 4-1 last night. Matthew Barzal with a goal and two assists. Jordan Eberle with two goals for the Islanders. Rangers in Pittsburgh taking on the Penguins. Coverage for that one, listen closely, 6:30 on 10:50 a.m. And Gary Kubiak has once again retired from the National Football League. That's a little sports center here on 98.7 ESPN.
I wish I had a sliver of Dave Rothenberg's mentality, just a sliver of it. Not all of it, just a sliver, is the fact that that was the first time you read that sports entry.
Yeah.
You were sent it and you didn't even look over it.
Mm-mm.
Now, I'm like, RJ has to send me reads early so I could actually go through the reads and read them out loud. You, first time seeing it, you just go with it.
Well, you know what it is? I assume, because I have the ultimate confidence in RJ, I assume it's going to be a perfectly worded and scripted sports entry.
I am the smartest man!
That one was not.
but had you read it before you went to air with it, you would have realized that it wasn't written
way. That is very correct, yes.
And you could have made an adjustment on the fly.
Well, you know what? I mean, also, RJ is very bright. So maybe there's a chance that the long record means something that I'm not familiar with. Like, when you're 8-8, that's considered the long record. The Knicks leveled their long record at 8-8 and 119-104. And I'm like, well, maybe that does make sense. But then in reading, I was like, well, what does that mean?
The guy's had 4 hours of sleep, man. Give him a break. No one's sleeping. Santi hasn't slept. He's been up all like he's been up since we started the show.
He's
yesterday.
Been up since.
He's
since
a beast.
Did you nap yesterday, Santiago?
In the middle of the day, but yeah, that's about it. Got a couple hours there.
This guy doesn't get full night's sleep. He just naps. That's it.
That's it.
Rests his eyes.
Probably not healthy.
Knicks game probably ended for him like 2 o'clock in the morning. He started to get ready for this show. He's got a late night game with the Knicks. I mean, I worry for you.
Got the Rangers ahead of that, too.
Oh, God. He's got the double dip tonight.
So, first road broadcast, too.
Oh, boy. You really. I mean, at some point, you're not going to know which end is up. All right. Jerry in Brooklyn. Jerry, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. I'm sure the Jets are printing up Jet T-shirts, all gas and no break, and I can't wait to get mine. I was so enthused yesterday just watching Robert Saleh, and I got to tell you something. You know, I try to curb my enthusiasm because we've seen so many talented offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators fail, but I'm hoping that they got this right, where Joe D drafts the talent and Robert and his staff develop our teachers and teach these kids and we become a winning franchise. Let me also say, I heard you guys talking about Deshaun Watson. You could do a show, 4 hours of all the different possibilities, but I don't want them to give up all their picks, but when you get a 25-year-old kid that's one of the best in football and maybe the most important position in the four major sports outside of maybe a goalie during the playoffs who's hot, I would probably make that deal in a heartbeat. And you're absolutely right. He will attract other players to come. One more quick point. I'm surprised no one yesterday asked Robert Saleh what he thought of the turf. If you remember in week 2 when they played the Jets, they lost half their team. And then in week 3 when they played the Giants, they lost a couple of more guys. And they really complained. And the NFL investigated the turf at the stadium. I just wonder how he feels. And I bring that up only because from what I've counted, the 49ers have 37 free agents this year. I've never seen anything like that. I think 30 of them are unrestricted. So I wonder who he'll bring to the team. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Well, you know he's going to bring the guys that probably don't cost a lot that he's most comfortable with, the culture setters, right, Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you who he ain't going to bring is Fred Warner, because he's about to get paid by the 49ers all kinds of money. I mean, he's going to probably make more than C.J. Mosley, which would be impressive. But, I mean, listen, he's going to try to bring in some of his guys from there that know the system so they can help to teach the guys that they actually have in the defensive unit right now. Like, that's what every coach does. Like, Bill Parcells, when he took over the Dallas Cowboys, he brought nose tackle Jason Ferguson with him. Like, that was in part because he's a really good player, but also he can be an extension of the coaching staff, teach the defense and the overall philosophy on what they want to do while they're program building. So, yeah, it's not uncommon for coaches to do that. I think the most important part for Rob Saleh is making sure that he feels great about the staff that he's putting together. And from all accounts, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty damn good staff.
You know what's amazing? And this is why I love doing this show and having callers on the show. I mean, did any of you listening to...
Didn't think about it.
Not one time?
Not one time.
Not one time did I say, you know what someone should ask right now? How he feels about the turf at MetLife.
But he's right.
I mean, I guess he's right, but
can't control that.
He can't control that.
No, but no. And I'm not. And if you were asked that question, what he's going to dance around is nothing he's going to say. But the point remains that it was a big piece of information for the Niners, and it does make you think back to how upset he was.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And if it was the difference between getting a handful of Niners free agents that could make a huge difference on the Jets. Maybe it would be something that the Johnsons and Joe Douglas consider doing. We got to fix this turf. But I think that would be I'm not sure he's still thinking about that.
No.
Like, you know what? Listen, Joe, I'm not going to take this job. Although you're offering me a long-term deal for millions of dollars, unless you change the turf, I'm not coming.
No, but I do like the fact that it's something I didn't even, it didn't even cross my mind, and a caller calls with that, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but on the list of priorities of things that he said, like the fact that he won't be calling plays, I like that because he's going to be the CEO. He's going to have his hands in everything. I like that. I mean, he's talking about, making an emotional commitment to his players. I like that. The fact that it seems like, him and Joe Douglas will decide when they're drafting players and free agents how each player fits specifically into their system, as opposed to like Mike Maccagnan wouldn't ask the coaches about draft picks. How do you not ask the coaches about the draft picks and how it's they would fit in your system?
Your coach is Adam Gase.
It's ridiculous.
It's over, Rick. It's over. They can't hurt you anymore.
But it just it highlights how bad it's been.
Dysfunction. You're right. It does. They have been as dysfunctional as any team in the NFL for a long time now. But hopefully for the Jets fan, that is now over. Now, Super Bowl 55 right around the corner. When it's game day, there's a Bud Light there waiting for you. That's why 98.7 ESPN and Bud Light are giving away a home-gating prize package, including a 50-inch television, pellet grill, cornhole set, Pong table, Yeti cooler, and more. We'll be qualifying listeners in the 7 o'clock hour every day through next Friday, January the 29th, when we announce our grand prize winner of over $2,000 worth of Super Bowl home-gating gear. To qualify, you'll need the keyword announced in the 5 o'clock hour of yesterday's Michael Kay Show. It's all from Bud Light. Find a Bud Light at your local beer retailer or locate a delivery retailer at budlight.com/delivery and 98.7 ESPN. To listen on your smart speakers, just play 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. Let's quickly go to D in Yonkers. D, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning, D.
Yo, Rick, I just have to ask you a question real quick. So, you know, like, you know, you ever have, like, think of something that somebody said that was mad funny, and then all of a sudden, like, you think about it a couple of days later, and you still laugh about it?
All the time.
One of the comments you made, the first week you guys were started in the morning that I still laugh about, that was very underestimated, was when you said that Dave is the only one that had Dak Prescott on week to week, and I lost it. I thought that was one of the greatest comments. But,
I didn't think it was all that funny, to be honest with you.
It was, though, because he said it, and you guys just started talking about something else. But it was like a quick jab, and I died. I thought that was great.
All right, if that's working.
But, I know. Hey, it's 5:30 in the morning. I get up at 4:30. I need those things. But I was saying, as a Jets fan, because I'm like a Duke basketball fan too, I get kind of excited about next year, is because, like, you know how you get those one and dones, and then you get a brand new team the next year. It's kind of how I feel like with the Jets right now. It's because, like, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I don't know what free agent's going to be. I don't know who we're going to draft. We got a new coach. It's like you're excited now, but you realize that you have to wait till the summer to, like, camp start. You know what I mean? Like, you get so excited about it. And last thing, Dave, though, it's like you kind of just blew your spot. You're kind of like the new Ron Burgundy. So I think RJ can kind of mess with you right now, because he can put whatever he wants in that paper and you're going to read it. So
yes,
you got to watch out.
Go ahead. He can have at it. That's fine. I don't think RJ would do that, but I think he should actually do that. Put whatever you want, and I'll read it, and then I'll be made to look ridiculous, and I'll make sure to point out that it was RJ that messed it up.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.